Joining us today is also Mike Santarelli. Hi, hi.
Good morning.
So we got Mike and Mike here, who joined us from PPM America, from the equity group of a insurance company, proprietary shop.
Investment management arm of an insurance company, yeah.
Okay, right.
And there was a breakup, and we're fortunate to have two of the eight original team here as part of our capital markets group. So I was just introducing. So today we're gonna continue to work on scripting, Ralph.
Okay.
We got it more concise than last time. We want to keep working on its impact. Ethan's going to say it this time instead of me. And I was talking about the next thing that we want to script is the answer to what do you do or where do you work, that question, in that we say one response that instigates more questions. And it, within that comment, we say what we do on the team, but really what we're saying is what the company is and what we do as a company. We're talking broadly. It's to market and get new clients. Period of the story.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a value. They call it the value proposition. What it is, sure. what is it that you do that creates value? So one of the things to think about with that is a purpose statement. A purpose statement is very helpful. A mission statement is a little broader, has to do with your values that you embrace. So an exercise we can do is to go through and determine what are the team values, the most important team values. I'll show you how to do that. It's very simple. Takes 10 minutes. That's to help you do your mission statement. Your purpose statement is sort of like, what would the earth be like without you? Now, that's not ethnocentric that we're some sort of superheroes. But the idea is that simply there would be a space in the earth without us. And what is it that space represents? What's our purpose? My purpose is to release the human potential by choosing growth over fear, and by so doing, help others to do the same. So, you know, that was my purpose when I was a managing director for my firm with 2,000 financial advisors. So you think, well, that's very, that's ethereal, Rob. Well, no, it's really not, because the number one thing that we all have to do in life is to face our fears, right? So if we could help people face their fears and deal with them, we would release their human potential. And that is nothing more noble than that. In truth, right? Because most of the time our fears never occur. You know, we worry about the 15,000 things that could potentially happen to us every day, and not, you know, one of them happens. So that's the game in terms of me. And that's what you want to think about in terms of what are you, you know, what's your big purpose in life. I just heard Paul Tudor Jones get on there and talk. I just caught the very end of it. But to be grateful is an amazing thing, and to help others is a wonderful thing. It allows you and others to have a bigger purpose than simply to make money, right? I once was working with a guy, with a team of managers, and we went around the room and talked about what our purpose was. And he said his purpose was to make money. And it really sounded incredibly shallow compared to the others. You know, he did not go on to have a great career, because people saw through him in 2 seconds. So it's like when you join, you know, we talk about joining charitable boards, right? And arts organizations, arts boards and other things to help the community. But it also, of course, helps us. But when you do it just for the purpose of helping yourself, people can see through that in 2 minutes. So, you know, what you've done in your community and helped, your friends and others has made a difference, right? And you want to think about that as, you know, when you're not here, you know, when Shelley's not here, when I'm not here, what did you guys do together to kind of help the earth? And it can't be something like, you know, we did one thing. It's got to be kind of an ongoing model that underneath everything else that you do. So I share that because it's sort of on my mind. So Ben, would you like to do, just for Mike and Mike, what we're doing now is trying to improve our skills. There's skills and then there's talent. Talent gets us to the table. Skills is where we win. And when we don't spend enough time practicing our skills, we don't win as much as we should. So in the world of golf, it's chipping and putting and driving the ball. In our world, it's the world of words. Words are our tools and we have to have them in the right order with the right words and not too many of them. Or we confuse the client. So when, for example, that purpose statement, right? Boom. Was it right there? Yes. Is it simple? Yes. One sentence? Yes. Can I remember it? Yes. Shelley, right? Remembering is the most important thing. Plato said learning is remembering. You guys know a lot of this. You've heard it. But the question is it inside your brain when you need it? And so one of the things we want to do is we want to learn a script, memorize a script, practice a script, use the script so that we can call on it like that. Okay. And the thing about this particular script of your, we're working on the VIPSA script. This one is good for a lot of different situations. And it's the packaging of it that, is really the genius of it. So anyway, we want to, Ethan, you want to try it?
Yeah. So, took some of your advice and simplified and shrunk things down into, rather than four paragraphs, 3 to 4 sentences. So we treat clients like family and better the lives of everyone we work with. As fiduciaries, we always put your interests before our own. We focus on holistic planning and investing for families that value peace of mind in all markets. Service is paramount. 12 contacts per year, 4 quarterly reviews, and 2 in-person or now Zoom meetings. Additionally, we have 1 hour response time and 24-hour resolution with any client request.
So what did everybody think of that?
Could you read the first 2 lines again, please?
Yes. We treat clients like family and better the lives of everyone we work with. As fiduciaries, we always put your interests before our own.
Well, I would say work to better the lives because we don't automatically better their lives, but I don't know. I want to make it like something closer to, well, this is what we're attempting to do for you. Everybody could disagree. I don't care.
I think you do. I think you better the lives. I do.
Even just leave it the way it is?
Even attempting to do it betters their lives. Because
right.
you're not going to be perfect. But you do.
Right.
You do. You better.
To better. attempt to better their lives. I don't know. So
yeah, I think one of the things you want to do is have strong words. And better the lives is better than attempting to better the lives.
I hear you. That's it.
Okay. So anybody else?
I like that as fiduciaries, we always put your interests before your own. There's different ways of saying it, but it doesn't put the competition down, which is what we talked about last time not doing.
Right.
Right. Like everybody else is a crook except for us.
Right.
Right. We always put your interests before your own. Last time we said something like and this could be it's kind of a weird statement. We treat your money like it's our own.
I like the family thing. I like that. I thought that was,
yeah.
Cause you guys do.
We treat clients like family. That's what we got back on our survey. I did a survey during COVID at the beginning of COVID 2020, and that comment came back several times.
You know,
we feel like family.
Yeah, the expression, I know a guy, right? Right? You've heard that a million times. I know a guy, right?
I got a guy.
That means you've got a guy on the inside you can trust. That's the idea of that. You know, I've got a friend in the jeweler business, right? That's and it's the whole idea of that is that your family and you've gotten past the population. You're now in the inner circle. I think it's good. And it is what you do. And you do treat people well or you wouldn't keep them. So I think it's fine. I have no, I mean, maybe a word here or there. One of the things,
okay,
when we say the service model, what we offer is multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of their plan, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to their problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? People always go, wow, how are you able to do that? So I probably wouldn't change any of that. Okay, I would use it word for word.
Allows us to combine them.
Bravo.
And the only reason I say that is I've really worked hard to get those words right. And if there was a better word, I'd substitute it. But you figure I've been saying it for 20 years. It's probably pretty bulletproof in terms of, so I wouldn't do the Zoom thing. I wouldn't, you know, I'd leave all the detail, just simple. The multi-generational planning. See, one of the problems that our competition had and what we solved for was this idea of full implementation. A lot of people do planning, but they don't implement it. They don't follow through. They don't dot the I's and cross the T's. You're hiring us to do that. Everybody plans, we implement. So it's a piece that's missing. So what do we offer? Multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process. So how are we going to do that? Through 12 scheduled appointments. So what do we offer? Multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process. So it's not a book. The planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. That sounds like, wow, how the heck are you going to do that? So it's kind of like, Shelley, we're kind of over-promising, okay? And no one's willing to do that. So we're going out on a limb here. And the greatest thing is that you can do this. It doesn't take much to do it because 24 hours, 1-hour response is answering the phone. 24-hour resolution is fixing things and you 90% get fixed in 24 hours. But, if we need more time, we will. And if you can't make an in-person meeting, you simply call them and say, you know, I can't get there for our in-person meeting this year because of COVID. I'd like to do a Zoom call. And they'd say, fine, no problem. But you still, that's your intention. Okay. And they will love the fact that you intend to see them twice a year. Because people want that. I mean, that's what they said they want. So we should give it to them when we can. Okay. Just like 24-hour resolution, we'll give it to them when we can. If we can't, we'll tell them. The idea is to tell them. That's the key. It's like my wife always said, Rob, if you're going to be late, call. Anybody heard that ever? You don't intend to be late.
We got to get down each one of those words. So let's lay it back. Ethan, lay it back if you've got it, or we'll type it.
Well, it's taped. It's recorded on here. You know that everything we talk about is recorded, so you can always go back and play it over and over. But it's pretty straightforward. I mean, you're very close, Ethan. Well, you just you were trying to be accurate. In your accuracy, you just what happens is we substitute words, and then they're not as good as some of the words that we're using. So don't worry about, being. I had a guy get up on the stage following me in this presentation and said, you know what? I would never teach what Rob Knapp teaches. Basically, that's what he said. I said, well, this would be interesting. He said, because my message is always under promise and over deliver. And I thought, okay, where are we going? And he said, well, this, 12-4-2 and rapid response and all that and a financial plan for every client, it's just impossible to do. And I would never teach that. And I thought, yay. Because what are we going to use to differentiate ourselves in the market today? This was probably 10, 15 years ago when I heard this. I mean, you couldn't differentiate yourself then. It's worse now, right? So now you can differentiate. You can't differentiate yourself with performance because performance is fleeting. You're a hero and then you're a bum and then you're a hero and then you're a bum. Now you can mitigate it, but you can't guarantee returns, and you can't build a practice just on returns, but you can on service. And you can do this. You can do 12-4-2. Okay. You can do a financial plan. You can implement the financial plan, and you can give rapid response to problems. You just have to have it be a priority. How the hell do you think Amazon got to be Amazon? They didn't start out by delivering in 1 hour, right? They started out by delivering in a week, and they kept working it down and working it down and working it down and promising and promising and promising, screwing up and promising and delivering. And now they've got a company that nobody can even come close to. And they're because they're crazy. They're completely obsessed with service. And that's what you need to be. You need to be completely obsessed with service, putting the client in the center and obsessing about the client. And it's okay to talk about that. Okay.
So if we start with fiduciaries, we go on to your sentence, what we offer is multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments with a rapid 1 hour response time to your problems, 4 quarterly reviews, 2 in person. How does that sound? We'll go back and review the tape. Anything after we're done?
Yeah. Once you hit that service, you want to end with, how does that sound? So you can, but you're right in terms of making it shorter, snappier, and then end it. And then how does that sound? Or how does that compare to what you're getting now?
That's the open question that either brings out more questions from them or closes the deal.
Well, what it's going to do is they're going to say, wow, how do you do that? Or, wow, I haven't heard from my guy in a year or 6 months.
Right.
So, it's not going to be a bad, you know, you're looking for something that's going to create a conversation, right? Ben, you started out, we want to work on our value proposition, which is going to start a conversation.
This right. Does. So what I want to do next, we have one from our EOS, which we could pull up and read to you. It's not, we treat clients like family. Well, it is, we treat clients like family, something like that. Can we pull it up, Ethan, what we have?
It's right there.
It's the first sentence?
Yeah.
Okay. We treat clients like family and better the lives of everyone we work with. We're going to see if there's anything else. We've got our values down. As humble, personable, adaptable, and get it done. Core values.
The humble thing just won't fly, Ben.
Okay.
Benjamin Franklin said, I've mastered all of my values except for humility. It's hard to tell people you're humble, right?
Right.
By telling them you're humble, you've indicated that you're not.
Right. I'm not so sure. These are actually internal core values of EOS. In other words, it's not something you publish on a website.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't buy that at all. Who in this room is humble?
Nobody. Really.
It's great. And it's a goal. It's like we're enlightened. Oh, good. Okay. Tell me about
that. Let's move on to the next ones. Personable, adaptable, get it done.
Yeah, I think those are great. The question is that something that everybody voted on?
In our leadership meeting, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the idea, is that everybody puts down their own core values, and then you go from person to person, put them up on a board and see which ones are most in common, and then use the top five or seven or something of that list. Okay. So, I mean, and that is important, because you want what that exercise does, if you do it properly, is it eliminates the feeling of, oh, those are somebody else's core values and they're not hearing me, right? So when you build your core values for the team, you want to at least have everybody be heard and listen, because you may actually learn something. And if you don't get the team to buy into the core values, the mission statement is kind of an empty one. So everybody has to really believe in the core values, before they can really believe in the mission statements. I mean, people work really hard on these things. Doesn't have to take long, but you really have to put yourself out there and say, you know what? These are my core values. Okay. They may not be anybody else's, but And so you think to yourself, okay, so what makes a team great in the financial services industry? And are we incorporating those values in our core values? And then what makes it everybody feel inspired to come to work? You know,
we do that.
You see what I mean? It's a little different than
sending for, you know,
we always think about.
Don't coordinate.
Sure. Deadline?
ASAP.
I mean, a day, tomorrow, in a week?
Yeah, sure. In 1 week.
So the idea, I mean, just the exercise, and I don't know, we may have talked about this, but you simply write down your, let's say, your top five or seven core values, and then go around the room and put them up on a flip chart or clear board as to what your values are. And the next guy, and then see which ones are in common. And then you go back and prioritize all of them. Yeah. And then look at it, draw a line and say, are these the top five or seven of our group? We can't have 50. We could have 10. It's kind of hard to write a mission statement with 10 values. But so my mission statement was to boldly go where no person's gone before and joyfully share the map. Now that sounds really simple, but it's just think about it. I can still remember it.
On a council budget, let's have a team meeting next Friday. And we'll throw them up on the board and we'll see whatever repeats we have. And
so to boldly go where no person's gone before, think about that. What are the values incorporated in that? So that I use this example because it will help you to say, well, we didn't use that word. Well, you don't need to use the word. You can use a sentence or a phrase that will incorporate that spirit, right? So to boldly go, boldly, courage, right? Boldly go where no person's gone before, innovative, creative, right? Inventive. So to boldly go where no person's gone before and joyfully, have fun, enjoy, like your job, joyfully share the map. Sharing it with others, the map. The map is kind of a map in our head. That's the map that we operate with, and that's the map of where we're going and where we've been, right? A map is something that you create, and it's immediately out of date. But it's a way for others to follow. So joyfully share the map. So we're leading, and we're helping others to follow. So you see how many values are in there, and many of them are ones that we would want to have in a leader, right? So we would want, I mean, did we have fun? We had a ball. We had the most fun ever. That was part of what we did. It doesn't have to be work. We had so much fun that people didn't want to leave. They didn't want to go home. They didn't want to leave the firm. They wanted to stay because it was fun. Now you have to be very other-centered to do that. But that goes back to our purpose, right? To release the human potential by choosing growth over fear, and by so doing, help others to do the same. So we can never say we can't do this because of fear. We always have to overcome that fear. And if there's a rational reason to be scared, okay, compliance, don't go there. Okay. But other than that, let's go. And so we did things that people didn't believe could be done. And that's part of being a team, because teams can do things that individuals can't. I could not have done what we did, even close, by myself. But I created the vision and the mission and where we were going. So then the vision is the piece that, the other piece that has to be filled in. Where are we going and how are we going to get there in the next 5 years? And it's got to be something that's important to the group and fit with your mission statement. Okay. It can't be just money. It's got to be something important that you're doing. You're changing the world. It can be scary. It can be almost impossible, but it should be something that wakes people up and gets them up in the morning and gets them to work because they see where they're going. You know, you heard the term big, hairy, audacious goals. Well, that's what you want to set, big goals, but you want to have a map to get there. So we have to do this every day in order to get there. So we have to take some risk. And the question is, how much risk are we taking every day? You know, ask your kids, how much risk did you take today in school? Right? It isn't that I was perfect and I got an A in attendance and I didn't get in trouble. The question is, did you take any risk today? And that doesn't mean that you're, you know, running away from school. It means that you raised your hand when you weren't positive of the answer, right? Because you were courageous. So the game becomes, okay, let's take risk, but do it within the parameters of acceptable, you know, maybe a little more than that sometimes. So that means they make those calls that you wouldn't have normally made. You go on a venture to penetrate a nest or a niche or something that you wouldn't normally do. And guess what? So what? You won or you didn't? You entered the game. So the game of life is entering the game. The only time that in a hero's journey, the only time that you're not, if you're not on the path of the venture, you're asleep, right? And in the end, all those exercises that every hero goes through, Squid, right? Squid, if you've watched it, is a hero's journey. Right? The reluctant hero is thrust into a situation he cannot, doesn't want. It's always the same. It's a young girl. It's a young guy. It's a something. They're always thrust in a situation they don't want. And their challenge is to overcome all these obstacles in order to manage their ego in the end. Right? And so it's, Anytime you want to write a screenplay or a movie, picking a hero's journey is always a ticket to success. So your vision kind of can be a mini hero's journey.
The mission is an internal statement and the value prop is an external statement.
Well, the value proposition really can be your purpose statement.
Okay. We treat clients like family and better the lives of everyone we work with. That's a purpose statement.
Yeah.
Okay. The mission statement, we're obviously that drives the firm, but is that public?
Yes, should be up on the wall.
Is that on the website?
Yep. The vision wouldn't be. That's internal. Vision of where are we going to be in 5 years?
Yeah. How much AUM we have in 5 years?
Yeah, what do we look like? You know, how many people have we, how many people work here? What do we look like? You know, self-realization is the most powerful thing that we have to offer each other. Self-realization is becoming our best selves. Realizing our best self, self-realization. Helping people to be their best self is the greatest gift we can give to others. Seeing more in them than they see in themselves. Larry Wilson used to say, managers get things done through people. Leaders get people done through work. So the idea is that our success as leaders is how many people realize their dreams because of us. Okay. So who do you want to work for? The person that is centered on your success or a person that's centered on their success? So you can, you don't get there right away. This is a journey of others focused enlightenment. Helping others is where we really end up in life getting joy. Now there are selfish, you know, there's a book called Give and Take. Adam Grant, MIT professor, wonderful author, important work. When I found it, I was like, it was like, it must have been like reading the Bible for the first time or reading the Old Testament or, you know, it was for me, I read the book and I said, wow, this is what I've been looking for. Because what he talked about was that there are three different kinds of people, givers, takers, and matchers. Mm-hmm. You remember this, Shelley? Do you know this?
I've heard the givers and takers and makers. Givers, takers, and makers. Takers and makers, certainly.
Well,
yes. There's another book like that.
Yeah, this is givers, takers, and matchers, right? And we all are in, we're all spend time in one of those categories. So don't think that you're either one or the other. The question is, where are you predominantly? So a giver is a person that gives to others, right? You know them. They're wonderful people. You like to be with them. You know takers. You know, Bernie Madoff was appearing to be a giver, gave to everything, right? But he was the ultimate in taker, right? And then there's matchers, and matchers are people that will, I'll give to you if you'll give to me. You know, I won't give to you just to give. I want something in return. So this is important to understand, because when you're looking for a center of influence and you're dealing with a taker, you're never going to get anything from them, because in their brain, they deserve everything. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to give anything in return. I mean, it's like having a dinner party for a group of neighbors, and immediately you get a dinner party invitation from another neighbor. So you want to have more friends? Throw more dinner parties. You'll get invitations, but there'll be certain people that won't ever invite you over, because they expect that it's good enough that you invite them. They gave you their time. And therefore, that's incredibly valuable. You know, so some people get out of touch. So you can move out of touch with reality. You know, you start out as a normal person, giver, and a wonderful person, and then your head blows up and then you become a taker. You know, walking around without any money and expecting other people to pay for everything is a taker. There were presidents that used to do that. Anyway, I digress slightly. But the idea is is that when you're building your practice, you want to build it around people that you can trust and treasure. And when you find a good giver, you want to treat them like gold because they're hard to find, true givers. But they, you know, they just give. So I recommend everybody read that book. The number one guy on LinkedIn has more connections than anybody else. He's the ultimate giver. He's also a billionaire. So the question became, which is the most successful, givers, takers, or matchers? And you think, well, I don't know, probably takers, right? No, it's givers, but they're also the least successful. So givers that gave all the time, social workers, and they just never took anything for themselves, ended up doing the poorest in terms of economics. The ones that made sure that they were fine before they took care of other people were the most successful. So they made sure they got an A before they tutored the rest of the class. Okay. So you make sure you get your work done before you help somebody else, but you love helping other people, but just make sure you get your own work done. So that's the game. And I've known, and we probably can remember people in our lives who were so focused on helping others that they just didn't get their own work done. I had a sales manager. He was fabulous. Everybody loved him. He was a terrible producer. And I had to kick his ass all the time to get him to produce because he didn't want to do that. He wanted to just help others. Anyway. Okay. But we're in an area of great interest of mine, obviously.
Okay. So, next Friday, we're going to get together, work on our values. We're going to revise this script and we'll have it down. We'll send it to Phil for one last one, but I think we got this. Basically, we have to take it off the video. And we'll check out the book and we'll see you next month.
Yeah. Awesome. Good job.
So what we'll do is next month, just come up with a plan. We'll actually go around and do this script now. Okay. We'll tell you what our new values are. Okay. And we're going to work on and we'll present to you, our mission statement. Okay.
Yeah, you can do it. I mean, you can do it. Once you have the values, then you write your mission statement and then you try and see if those values are in those words. Right?
Right. We got this.
Okay.
And then the hardest, you know, one of the more challenging things is to actually build your 5-year plan and move it backwards to this year.
Yeah. We've worked on some of that stuff and we'll share it. Okay.
Yeah. That's so helpful for me. Obviously, cause then we hold, you know, I have a little sticker here, accountability coach. So one of the things that we all need is an accountability coach. So the question is, can we be each other's accountability coaches in the pieces of the plan that we're building so that we do better as a group? Okay, that's a benefit of teams. Okay, thanks guys. See you next time.
Thank you, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.